Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Algorithms and the power to change our lives. So, of course, we know in some ways they're very, very scary, but in others, the algorithms that are applied seem very helpful to us. Dr. Wei Tse Lung is a lecturer at the Academy of Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg. Good morning. Thanks for joining us again. How are you?
Good morning, Howard, and to your listeners. I'm cold, like you mentioned earlier, but at least I'm indoors.
Absolutely. It's really, really freezing at the moment. So algorithms, we love them and we hate them both, don't we?
Oh, yes. I suppose many of us feel algorithms make our lives very much easier and more convenient. But at the same time, I think many of us are also concerned with what it's learning about us.
What is it learning about us?
Well, it could be anything. It depends on who's running those algorithms. Obviously, tech companies like Facebook and Google and so on, they are not doing this for free. They are trying to, please use our algorithms as much as possible so that we can learn more about you. And then from that data, they can try and sell that knowledge of your, for example, your trends or your preferences to people who are interested. For example, you've got these advertising companies that would like to target the correct people. And they want to know, well, who are these people who are surfing on the internet? How do we reach to them? And that can be a concern, especially if people might want to use it to manipulate. And there are people who are concerned with manipulating, for example, democracy, as you've read in the United States with the previous election.
But the interesting thing is, or surely to some extent, it's actually not about me. It's about me being just one of millions of people who follow a certain pattern on my searches and buying and views, etc. It's not really about them, anybody or any group having specific information on me, is it?
Well, it might not be specific information about you, but it does, each and every single one of us match a certain profile pattern. Just to give you a really startling piece of story, one of my colleagues a few years ago, he recently lost his dog. He had to put the dog down because she was really suffering. And he was still coming to terms with his loss. And on the internet, whenever he surfed, there would be these advertisements about pet insurance. And I think, that's poorly timed, but it also picked up, hey, he was looking at things in a similar vein. So right. I mean, I'm not sure if you would feel comfortable. It might not say Howard Feldman, so many years old, but it will say Howard Feldman with certain interests, looking at these at the moment. And then they target you with very specific details. So they won't say, hey, Howard, I think you should get this. But it would be, hello, person, these certain interests, these are things that you should look at more.
And sometimes it's quite annoying because you could be sitting with somebody and somebody asks you a question and you say, well, let me Google it and maybe it's about a vehicle. And the next thing is that wherever you look, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or wherever it would be, you're suddenly getting advertisements for vehicles.
Yes, absolutely. So I think this is something that you and all your listeners have experienced. And that's done by tracking you. So they notice that you've looked at one thing and they think that the next time, you looked at this, so I'm sure you actually want to get back to it. It's actually an extended shopping cart. I'm sure you bought things or you've thought of buying things online. So you stop putting things on a cart and then they go, oh, did you forget about your cart? But now it goes beyond that because you're not looking at the website anymore. You're looking elsewhere and they still throw these ads at you and say, hey, what about those things?
Is there a point that it becomes harmful or counterproductive for the advertiser? In other words, if I did just happen to look up a certain vehicle and now I'm starting to get adverts for that vehicle, when do they risk alienating me because I'm feeling a little creeped out by that?
I think people we are feeling a bit creeped out about, but I don't think it's actually negative to the point that they're going to stop. You know, and the thing is, obviously, it does stay in your browser history as recommendations for a while. And if you don't react on it, eventually they will, you know, they'll drop off. But if you're looking at it and you go, oh, hey, hang on, you know, I did look at that, let me look at it again, then they are going to be reinforced by this, oh, you know, they're coming back and they're looking at it. So, and the thing is, advertisers will see it as they are at least getting to you. Look, online advertisements, the rate isn't always great, but it's a better investment from their side because it still makes sense for them to continue advertising in this way because it is targeting people rather than randomly just going, here are people we don't know anything about, but maybe they might be interested in this.
Mm. Are our phones listening in on us?
Well, you know, there's that debate. I suppose it depends on what you have installed on your phone. I'm not sure if you recall, but a while back, there was a Torchlight app that was on the Google Store, mm-hmm. and it wanted to know your phone book. Like, why would it need to know that?
Because my torch wants to talk to your torch. I don't know. That makes no sense. Absolutely.
So
the question is, because often we've had this conversation where I'm chatting to a friend about something, and then a short while later I get an advert for the very thing that we were talking about that I haven't yet searched. Now, we never know if that's just coincidence, if that is confirmation bias, or if my phone was actually listening to my phone call.
That is, you know... You sometimes think that it is, and I think might be, you know, if I go, oh, I don't think it's checking on you, therefore it's probably confirmation bias. I must say it's happened to me a few times for me to go, I don't think it's possible. But I don't know if you've got smart devices in, for example, Google, one of those mini speakers and so right. on, but those are constantly listening to you because the idea is it's waiting for you to say something. And sometimes the software that's written there is faulty, and then what happens is it actually listens when it shouldn't.
That's absolutely fascinating. What advice do you have for people if they don't want to be targeted in this way?
Well, I say it's very inconvenient. So you may notice that very often when you visit websites, they have a cookie policy that says, will you accept all? Mm. And it's so convenient for you to say, ask you questions again.
Yeah.
I tend to go, no, minimum. But each time you go minimum, every time you visit the site again, it comes back and says, oh, about those cookie settings, would you like to change it? And I go, no. Change your browser as well. Don't use your common browsers. I think one of the browsers that are oriented with privacy is called DuckDuckGo. That tries to not keep any information about you as much as possible.
Right.
Proof, but it's best.
Right. And that is these are some of the ways, if it does bother you, that you can try and protect yourself from that. I'd love your thoughts and your reaction, please, on 34519 or 0618951019. Do you just accept all when it asks you if you want cookies, if you want to accept the cookies? Do you just accept all, or do you try and keep that to a minimum? 34519 or 0618951019. Dr. Wei Tse Lung is a lecturer of Academy of Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg, giving us her view on privacy.